A Tibetan master once asked his students a simple question: what causes all your suffering?
The answers came quickly. Difficult relationships, financial stress, health problems, past traumas.
He listened patiently, then offered a different perspective that changed everything.
Every ounce of misery, every moment of anxiety, every flash of anger traces back to a single source, the relentless habit of putting yourself first.
Not in the healthy sense of self-care, but in the exhausting, never-ending project of self-protection, self-promotion, and self-concern. This insight forms the foundation of Lojung, an ancient Tibetan practice that flips our usual approach to happiness completely upside down.
Instead of asking, "What can I get?" it asks, "What can I give?"
Instead of protecting the self, it suggests exchanging it for something infinitely larger.
Picture someone you love struggling with unbearable pain. Your instinct is to wish it away. Tonglen asks you to do something that sounds backwards. Breathe in their suffering as dark, heavy smoke, and breathe out your happiness and peace as brilliant light. This isn't masochism, it's liberation. When we stop running from pain and meet it directly, the solid wall between my problems and their problems begins to dissolve. This practice works because our suffering comes not from external circumstances, but from our relationship to them. When we clutch tightly to comfort, every threat feels catastrophic. When we open our hands and offer what we have, we discover unexpected resilience. A mother naturally takes on her child's distress without thinking twice. Tonglen extends that instinct outward in widening circles, from loved ones to strangers, from those we like to those we can't stand. The practice doesn't deplete us, it expands us beyond the cramped prison of self-concern into something vast and unshakable.
Everything we experience feels undeniably real. The anger burning in your chest, the anxiety knotting your stomach, the person who wronged you. But what if they're more like dreams? Not that they don't matter, but that they're far more fluid than they appear. When you're dreaming, that monster chasing you feels absolutely real. The moment you wake up, it vanishes. The same principle applies to waking life. This understanding is intensely practical. When you examine your anger closely, where exactly is it? Does it have a shape, color, or precise location? The more you look, the less you find. It arises from conditions, a comment, a memory, a tired nervous system, and when those conditions shift, it dissolves like morning fog. Recognizing this doesn't diminish emotions, it makes them workable. You're no longer trapped inside them, convinced they define you. Instead, you see them as weather patterns moving through the open sky of awareness. This spaciousness allows you to respond rather than react, to choose compassion over defensiveness, to meet life with flexibility rather than rigid resistance.
When life knocks you down, you have two choices: wallow in victimhood, cataloging injustices, or recognize this moment as the opportunity you've been waiting for. Not because suffering is noble, but because it reveals where you're still clinging to the small self. That betrayal, it's showing your dependence on others for worth. That illness, it's exposing your attachment to control. The Lojung approach isn't toxic positivity, it's radical honesty. When difficulties arise, instead of asking, "Why me?" ask, "How is my self-importance involved here?" This isn't self-blame, it's self-liberation. When you stop seeing yourself as a victim, you reclaim power to work with your mind. You can go further, actively inviting challenges. If I'm meant to suffer, may I suffer completely so I can learn what I need to learn. This sounds extreme, but it's ultimate fearlessness. When you stop controlling outcomes and instead commit to transforming your relationship to whatever arises, you become genuinely unstoppable.
Spiritual insights mean nothing if they vanish when someone cuts you off in traffic or criticizes your work. The real test is ordinary life's messy middle, When your child melts down, your partner triggers you, or you're exhausted and someone needs something from you. This is where Lojong either becomes real or remains just another interesting idea. Integration requires structure. Start each morning setting your intention. Today, I'll notice when self-importance arises and practice exchanging self for other. End each evening reviewing. When did I succeed? When did I fail? This isn't about perfection. It's about building awareness. When you catch yourself complaining, gossiping, or obsessing over some slight, you have a choice point. You can follow the familiar groove of self-concern, or pause and ask, what would it look like to care about the other person here? Maybe that annoying colleague is struggling with something you don't know about. Maybe your critical parent is terrified of losing connection. This doesn't excuse harmful behavior, but it opens space for a different response, one that doesn't leave you tangled in resentment for hours.
Meaningful change requires structure. The five strengths provided: motivation, familiarization, virtuous seeds, remorse, and aspiration. Motivation is your unwavering commitment to overcome self-importance and develop genuine care for others. Familiarization is daily repetition that makes practice second nature, like an athlete training until movement becomes effortless. Virtuous seeds are merit accumulated through actions intended to benefit others, generous actions that literally reshape your mind. Remorse is clear-eyed recognition that self-clinging causes suffering, naturally increasing vigilance. Aspiration is heartfelt prayer that your practice deepens, making you capable of truly helping others. These strengths become crucial when facing death, the ultimate test of genuine practice. At that threshold, possessions, relationships, achievements, and your carefully constructed identity mean nothing. Only your mind state matters. If you've practiced Tonglin, death becomes an opportunity to absorb the suffering of countless beings dying in fear, offering them your peace. This transforms final moments into profound generosity, rather than clinging in terror.
When Lojong becomes your life rather than your hobby, you stop waiting for conditions to be right before you can be happy. You stop needing people to behave a certain way before you can be kind. This isn't resignation. It's the most active, engaged way of being imaginable. When you're no longer defending a small, vulnerable self, you have tremendous energy available for actually showing up and helping. The person who irritated you becomes worthy of compassion. The situation that would have sent you spiraling becomes an opportunity to practice. You're not transcending your humanity. You're becoming more human, more tender, more responsive. Your capacity for joy expands because you're no longer constantly monitoring whether you're getting your fair share. Your resilience deepens because you're drawing from something larger than your individual resources. You discover what Tibetan masters have known for centuries. The intelligent heart that cares for all beings is stronger, wiser, and infinitely happier than the small self that cares only for itself. This is the revolution that's always been available, not through acquiring more, but through offering everything you have.